Would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday, and it had you talking at the socialist union.
Yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally, and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
That was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly.
Hello, welcome along to Liberty NZ. I'm Grant Edwards, and with me again today is Kevin McCracken from Star of the Beast 2021 and 2022. Kevin today is going to run over what it is to be a constitutional monarchy. Well, I always thought that a constitutional monarchy was what we had here in New Zealand, but Kevin's going to smash my dreams of being a monarchist. And he's going to turn me into revolutionary. So what's happening, Kevin? Is the King Charles III, is he still our king, the head of state?
The king itself, just like the queen, they are now corporations. They are not as we thought they were. When it comes to New Zealand, back in 1986, what was then the Queen, and the Queen controlling this land, became a corporation. And that corporation then was called Her Majesty the Queen in Right of New Zealand. So from that point, we no longer had ministers of the Crown.
Hang on.
We had members of Parliament.
Sorry about that. Something's happening in the background. Get off there, government advertising. Sorry about that. Carry on, Kevin. I don't know. You might not have heard that.
Yeah, I did. I heard what you were doing here, but that's okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So what happened was when they the ministers were no longer, they became members of Parliament. Basically, they gave all of New Zealanders no rights because we were run by a corporation.
When did this happen,
and
Kevin?
What,
was it 86?
1986. Mm. Yes.
And that was with the Constitution Act, is that right?
Constitution Act, exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what happened was the World Court said that that's illegal what you've done. So then what they had to do was the Parliament had to, they created the Imperial Laws Application Act of 1988 to give us a lot of our rights back. And what it did was Section 5 mentioned that because we come under England and England is under common law, we are also still under common law. So that is why within our courts, we are still under common law. And when you look at the Application Act of 1988, it's got an emblem, and that emblem sits above the magistrate or the judge within those courts. So that means that they are bound by that act. So because of that, we've actually still got a lot of so-called freedoms as such. But when it comes to a lot of people with common law, they think that's all the Dark Ages. But in reality,
it is the law.
It is the law. Mm. It is very much so. Yes,
yeah.
And it's a very, very simple law, and that is not part of acts and statutes. Because acts and statutes are not law.
So do acts and statutes, so people have said that these new acts and statutes, they trump old law. But that's not correct, is it?
That is not correct.
Right.
An act and statute is only for commerce. That is why when you look at all the legislation, it states this act binds the Crown. Because the Crown is now a corporation. So it only binds corporations.
So, are we corporations, or are we men and women? I mean, I know the latter, but have they tried to turn us in through our birth certificates? Have they tried to turn us into corporations or corporate entities?
Yes, within legislation, they have used the word person.
Oh, okay.
And the word person within legislation has three definitions. Two of the definitions are for corporations. The third is unincorporated body, which applies to but when you look at their within legislation to the definition of unincorporated body, It means partnership or trust. So it does not apply to a single man or woman. And if we stand as a single man or woman, then we are not a corporation and legislation does not apply to us. Just simply at that fact.
Good grief.
But the problem is that because they use the word person and we are taught to identify as a person, that is how when they send us an account, send us an infringement, send us anything from rates, etc., we think that we are bound to pay them. But in actual fact, if we stand as a single man or woman, we are not bound by legislation.
If we've said, if they've set the precedent of us sending us letters and bills and we pay them, is that a precedent that's set and they can go on that? So, or can we just change our mind and say, no, we're not a person?
No, we can just change. Good. Yep. So every time they send us something in the mail, that's an offer to contract.
Mm.
And every time we pay it, we're accepting that contract.
Mm.
We're saying, yes, we'll accept that contract. And then every time they send another letter out, well, that's a new offer to contract. But the problem is that when they send them out, they're expecting us to pay. It's a presumption, and that comes under the presumptions of law. So, and it is only a presumption. So if you end up paying it, you're entering into their contract. You're acknowledging that you are a person.
What other areas of our life does this affect?
Virtually every area of our life. If you look at rates, within the Local Government Rating Act of 2002, it says what is a ratepayer, and it says a person. So that is, and if you identify as a person, well, then you are a ratepayer. If you are not a person, you are not a ratepayer.
The people that send you the bills, the people at the council, they wouldn't know. They think a person's just you, a man, a living man or a woman. They wouldn't know the difference, would they?
They are not taught. No,
but they'd be baffled. And they just think we're weirdos.
In a lot of sense, yes.
Yeah.
But as time goes on, more and more of this information is being spread, and a lot of people will be seeing this information. I've done now a couple of templates on Starve the Beast Facebook page.
Yeah,
that can be given to councils, which is simply asking questions of the council to justify their authority or their jurisdiction. And that is what it is they need to justify, because when you look at an act and statute, if you look at the word act, it comes from the word actor, which is fake, which is fiction.
Wow. So I'll let you carry on, because I had a thought and it ran away. As the older I get, right, they're like leaves on that just blow away in the wind, my thoughts.
Yes. I mean, other aspects, if you look at everything from your driver's license to your bank cards, everything is in full capital. Your name is in full capitals.
I've noticed that.
So that is, yeah, so that is actually how they identify you as a corporation.
So this idea of a corporation, they just went through and did it in 1986, and then the World Court, was it, that said, hey, you can't do that? Is that after the fact, or was it when they were applying to do that the World Court said, no, you can't do that, you'll have to do this Imperial Laws Act?
Application Act. It was after the fact, because, yeah, they I would say, because the Imperial Laws Application Act came in 2 years after the Constitution Act.
Oh, okay. 2 years
so
after.
There was a gap there.
Okay. All right. So now we're no longer a constitutional monarchy. We are a corporation. And we're all persons. So we're corporate identities ourselves. We're not men and women as far as this corporation is concerned.
That is correct. And every single, whether it's the police, the councils, every associated, or anyone associated with the government, are all individual corporations.
Okay, what about the Navy, the armed services?
The interesting thing about those is, forget which legislation, but back in 1993, It actually states that the police, members of parliament that are on salaries, which also includes the prime minister, are not public servants.
Right.
But the Navy, the Navy, the military, and the Air Force are still public servants, and they're the only public servants.
And Air Force, yeah. Okay, and is that a help to us? The latter?
It should be a help to us, because a public servant means then that we should be able to go to the likes of the military, and they should be serving us.
Because they just were, like the, right, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, because the government was always meant to serve us. But in actual fact, because they became a corporation, they no longer serve us. They actually now control, and that's why it's a parent state. And that's why the prime minister is actually a CEO of a corporation.
And that's why people like the parents of the four-month-old baby that's wanting pure blood in his for the operation for their child the government, they think that they can control those parents, that they have authority over them, the state.
Yes, because the one question I would ask is, have the parents applied for a birth certificate? Because once you register anything, you actually lose that ownership, that control. And right. That is the idea. It's no different to you registering a marriage. So like a marriage, as soon as you register as a marriage, you've got husband and wife, and then you've got the government at the top of the triangle, where it used to be God at the top of the triangle.
Yes, of course. So can you get if okay, so I've got a birth certificate with the capitals probably for my name at the end, my surname. Can I get out of that? Or am I captured?
It's whether that they created those to trade, to make money and so forth. We don't have any control over that as such. But what we can do is we can actually step outside that corporate system.
Okay.
Because they will just carry on trading whether you like it or not.
Yeah, right.
So that's what we're doing, is we're looking at actually stepping outside of that corporate system and identifying ourselves as the living.
Okay. So where do we go from here? Like, how can we do that?
The number one thing is literally do some research. Once you hear this information, actually do some research on it, you know, because if you don't know your rights, you have none.
Yes, of course.
And we're quite happy just to go along and just carry on working, and the more we work, the less we're looking around saying, hey, is there something wrong with society? And most times we're so focused on work that we
don't actually notice what's going on. Yeah, we're so busy they've got us slaves.
That's right.
I always believe that I should be able to travel at whatever speed I like, but if I cause damage or injury or death, then I'd be liable for that. But if I was traveling at 100 Ks and I felt it was safe, or 120, and I felt it was safe and I caused no accident, no injury or damage to property, then there should be no crime or no fine. What do you think about that? That's my idea. Oh, it's not my idea, but that's an idea that I like. I like that ideology.
You like the idea, and that is common law. That is law on the land.
Oh, okay.
Law on the land is a very simple. Cause no harm,
because it gives you freedom.
Cause no injury. Yeah,
but it also comes with that freedom comes responsibility. So don't drive like a maniac and cause injury, because if you do, you'll be liable for possibly looking after that person you've hurt, or their family you've left behind, there'll be probably biblical sort of responses to it if you hurt someone or kill someone. I think if your stock gets out and injures someone, it's the farmer that should be responsible. It's not really.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's common law, which is probably biblical.
That
comes from the Bible,
law.
I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to the Bible, I mean, that is common law. There are different aspects of common law, but that's law on the land.
Mm.
But you've also got natural law, which is God's law, which is based on the Ten Commandments. And that is what a lot of people are now wanting to go back to. And because of 1835 Declaration, that is based on common law. That is the way things were.
So tell me about the 1835 Declaration. I thought that was just a Maori thing.
Right. That is not just a Maori thing.
Okay.
The interesting thing is that it involved England as well as the Polynesians of the time.
Really?
That came to these lands. The interesting thing is that when you look at etymology, which is the beginning of words, the word Maori was not invented or created until 1843.
Oh, no.
That was even after the treaty.
It's like dinosaur wasn't invented until 1842. They were dragons before then. So 1839, did you say, or
1843 was the beginning of the word Maori.
Oh.
And from my understanding, it was never intended for one race. It was for those that came to these lands.
That's interesting because the Cook Islanders, they have a Maori Bible. They speak Maori.
Yes, it's right. It's not just
but
for...
It's not the same as here, but...
Mm. No, exactly. But it's been focused that way. So basically, we are all natives to this land. All those that were born here are natives to this land.
We're indigenous.
So we are, yes. Yep. But it's never looked on that way. And the interesting thing is that, you know, when we had the Declaration of 1835, that was actually for life. And then when it came to the 1840 treaty.
When you say for life, you mean for in perpetuity, forever?
Forever, yes. Okay. A declaration is, you're declaring something. Until all of those that signed that declaration signed a new declaration or a new treaty or anything, the old will still exist.
So even though the 1840 Treaty of Waitangi has come into force, I don't know if it's in force, but there it is, which I always thought was just a treaty to stop Maori killing each other. And they thought, well, we'll have England control it so that we don't. I never saw it as a partnership. I saw it more as just giving, they ceded their sovereignty and came under the one law, the British law, and had the same rights and privileges as British subjects.
But the interesting thing was for that treaty to take effect, everyone that signed the declaration had to sign the treaty.
Okay.
And that didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
So under contract law, if that never happens, it means it's like a wage contract. If you have a wage contract in place that's been signed and you don't sign the next one will never take effect. So that's exactly what happened. And that is why we can still stand on the 1835 Declaration.
So that's why I see these flags, these independence. What are they called? The tribes.
Oh, the Hewakapūtanga.
Yeah, what's that tribes called? The
United Tribes.
The United Tribes. Yeah. So we would come under that jurisdiction.
Yes. Yes.
And is that going to be good for us, or is it going to turn out like South Africa and Rhodesia, and where they're hunted?
I mean, personally, I like the Wakamaninga Maori government because they are 100% unincorporated. So they are outside of any form of corporation.
How do you spell that? They are not... Wakamaninga. Wakamaninga.
Yes. Wakamaninga.
How do you spell that? Do you know?
Waka.
W-A-K-A-M-I-N-E-N-G-A. E-N-G-A. Wakamaninga. That's the Wakamaninga Maori government.
Correct.
Right. Thanks. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's good. They believe in natural law. They believe in self-governance.
Yeah.
And even though it has the word government, that is not in the same context of what we have today. It's more of a governance so that when it comes to natural law, it is we self-govern ourselves, just like you were saying with speeding. Mm. We should be that freedom to choose, but we make sure that we do it appropriately. you know, without, we have a conscience to make sure that everything is done right. So their government as such is off to the side, so that it's more the running of the country with all the services and so forth,
yeah,
but not to control you.
Oh, that sounds good. All right. And so how do we become a part of this Wakamaninga Māori government?
That is, they have a website that if you just, yeah, put in Wakamaninga Māori government, and mm-hmm. you can become part of under their jurisdiction. They are setting up what we would call a parallel society to what we have now, except it's not a controlling society.
Wakamaninga Māori government. Yeah, it is there. And Health Council. That's not the same health thing that's happening now with the government, with Māori Health. Is that different again?
No, that's different, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So this, what they're doing is they're setting up health, education. They're also doing native titles. So that this is going back, like I say, to 1835, because the problem we have with allodial, not only is, you know, it's a fact of allodial also means you ownership, but in actual fact, no one owns land. No one actually owns land. We are stewards to look after land. We can claim an area for our housing and sustenance, you know, very much like allodial, but it's not complete ownership as such. It's more, yeah, making use of the land.
Oh, that sounds good. Allodial, that's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? If we look at the Latin.
Yes. The word actually means no title. Because a vowel with one or two consonants means no. So,
isn't that what it is, though? You don't have a title, you have control of the land. So wouldn't that
work? The control of the land, yes. It is called native title to give it that title, so that you're actually claiming an area as outright ownership. Years ago, you didn't have a piece of paper like you have today. Because the interesting thing is the government or the corporations have created a piece of paper called a fee simple title, and that's run by a corporation called LINZ.
LINZ, yeah.
Yeah, yep, Land, you know, Information New Zealand. And the banks and so forth, they put a security against that piece of paper, but it is only a piece of paper. It is not against the land, anything physical, because a corporation is a piece of paper. Same with the bank as a corporation, it's only a piece of paper, and they can only identify with paper.
Okay, so what are the steps if we want to, the property that we have title to, if we want to protect that from councils, because with people losing their jobs over the last 3 years, people could end up losing their homes and their properties. And with the government, what they're planning to do with this fart tax, or what is it, whatever it's called,
the emissions, so forth, yes.
Yeah, which is just a nonsense. Farmers could be pushed, could not be able to afford to continue farming. And so how do we get out of paying all that? And so what are the steps of protecting ourselves and our land so that we can continue on without this interference, this wicked interference?
It is, because the same thing's happening in the Netherlands. They are the test case
for what
that they want to do through the world.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. They want to remove 100% of the farms.
Yep.
So the best is to actually become part of Wakamaninga Māori government.
Yep.
And put your title into native title. So it becomes part of their jurisdiction.
And where do we go to do that? Is that 2022?
That's actually if you go to Wakamaninga Māori government.
And would you recommend that?
Yes, that is exactly what I've done. Yeah, because from my point of view, it is all about jurisdiction. And the government, being a corporation, cannot own anything living, but they think they have jurisdiction. Just like, for instance, if you go onto Google and you put in the allodial owner of New Zealand, it will come up the Crown. But for them to, for the Crown to be allodial owners, they there had to be a conquest of any land. And in New Zealand, there was never a conquest either by debt or by war. So no one can be an allodial owner of all of this land.
But I thought there were about three ways to become allodial. I thought it was just to go and by gift, by conquest, also by agreement.
I mean, you can pass it down the land and so forth. But the problem is that when I think it was 1835. Was 1840, somewhere around there, it was supposed to be only the Queen or the Crown could actually purchase parts of this land. But to my understanding, it was never offered to them by the Polynesians at the time. So it was actually taken by force. So that's where a lot of the problems come in. Mm. So for the likes of Google to turn around and say that, you know, the Crown is the allodial owners of this land, there is no proof of it.
Right. Okay, so we go to the Wakamaninga Māori government website, and then what do we do? To protect our properties.
Yes. So there is a pledge. What you're doing is you're actually becoming part of their I would call it society. I mean, some of these words people don't like, but when we're talking amongst the living, these words are just words. It's not till we come across corporations that we actually got to be careful what we say.
Be careful what we say, words.
So what you're doing is you're actually, you're giving a pledge to Wakamaninga Māori government, and you're actually becoming part of their jurisdiction. And that is where your protection will come from.
And do they have a constitution?
Well, their constitution, that the 1835 Declaration is actually a constitution.
That's the constitution.
Yep, it is actually a constitution, yes.
Right.
Yep, it's only the second ever in the world. And that is the power of it, because it was actually, it is native to this land, which means that all natives to land, it actually does apply right throughout the world. So the constitution that we have will actually affect the rest of the world.
Okay. So, I'm speaking with Kevin McCracken from Starve the Beast 2021. That's the Facebook page. Thank you, Kevin. That's very interesting.
Good as gold.
Oh, that wasn't the end. I was just giving people so they know... I suppose they know.
Right.
I'm used to radio, and I'm used to, you know, people dropping in and, you know, wondering what's this about. So I do silly things like that. It's just old habit.
Okay. No, that's cool.
Yeah. Sometimes if I do a live cast, I often do that. All right. So what should we, we've got 10 minutes to go, 8 minutes to go. So, and then we can, do you want to do another one? Should we carry on and put and do two, part one, part two? You got time for that or not?
Could do. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. That's no problems. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just cover what you think we need to cover to tidy it all up.
Right.
I'm interested to know what the steps are. So you go to Wakamaninga, and then you.
Yep. Yep. Once becomes part of Wakamaninga, and people do get caught up, like I say, on the word Maori, but when you understand the word Maori was not how it was ever intended,
that means we're Maori.
So it's not meant to be. Yes, exactly.
We're born here.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. Yes. Yeah. So it was never intended to be aimed at one race.
That's very interesting. Has there been any court cases where people with to do with this, you know, where they tried to take their land and they've, through the Wakamaninga Māori government, where they've tried to take the land and they've failed, the government's failed, or the local council, or the banks?
To my knowledge, I haven't heard of any cases like that. But when it comes to the native title, it is something that is very new. It's only within the last probably 6 weeks, 8 weeks that they've actually put the native titles together.
Is this the Wakamaninga Māori government?
Yes, it's only very, very new. So they've only just started being able to actually transfer your titles as such over.
Hey, I'll send you another link and we'll carry on with this, eh? It's really good.
People should not be walking around with masks. Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better. And masks are protective. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
That if, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community, you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks from 2 years old onward.
And you're asking now, if your child is a member of your household, can you walk outdoors with your child without a mask? According to that chart, the answer is yes.
But the child can't, not to beat it to death. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Because now the CDC says, I mean, I think I've got this right. One mask is better than zero masks. Two masks is better than one mask. But you don't have to have double masks. Is that right? I mean,
you know, it became clear that cloth coverings that you didn't have to buy in a store, that you could make yourself, were adequate.
And then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
And are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci? Look like you are.